In Europe, chemically recycled materials made up just 0.2% of total plastics production in 2024. Is the promise of a circular economy hitting a wall of high costs and weak demand? We'll separate the hype from the reality. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking three critical shifts. First, the regulatory storm around PFAS chemicals is forcing a complete reevaluation of materials in everything from semiconductors to medical devices. Second, the race to replace metals is accelerating, with advanced composites and 3D printing creating new winners and losers in automotive and aerospace. And finally, we'll look at the clashing realities of chemical recycling, where major breakthroughs are happening alongside project cancellations.
It's a landscape of disruption. Compliance deadlines are forcing innovation, lightweighting is no longer optional, and sustainability promises are facing their first major economic stress test.
Let's start with PFAS, the so-called forever chemicals. We're seeing a flurry of regulatory activity from the US EPA and the European Chemicals Agency. Troy, for executives who are just catching up, what is happening right now?
The core development is that regulators are categorizing fluoropolymer uses into essential, replaceable, and politically exposed. This isn't a blanket ban, as some fear, but a strategic reclassification. For years, material selection was driven purely by performance and cost. Now, regulatory risk is a primary driver.
So if you are using a material like PTFE, you now have to justify its essential. What does this mean for US and European manufacturers who rely on these materials?
It's a direct challenge. Take semiconductor fluid handling or medical implants. Fluoropolymers have been indispensable due to their heat resistance above 150 degrees Celsius and chemical inertness. Finding true one-to-one replacements is a massive R&D hurdle. Companies like SAVIC are responding directly, planning to unveil fluorine-free alternatives at the MD&D West 2026 conference. This signals a major market shift.
So the material suppliers are seeing an opportunity. What should trading companies and distributors be paying attention to?
Sourcing and partnerships are now critical. The market is bifurcating. There will be a premium, highly regulated market for essential-use fluoropolymers and a fast-growing market for PFAS-free alternatives. Distributors need to be advising clients on this split, offering dual-track solutions. They need to track innovators like Zampla, which is developing a plant-based material called Moro, and plasma coating technologies from firms like Plasmatreat.
Okay, so what's the actionable insight here? What should an executive do on Monday morning?
Audit your bill of materials immediately. Classify every component containing fluoropolymers into that essential or replaceable framework. Begin parallel R&D or sourcing discussions for alternatives, even for applications you currently deem essential. The regulatory window is closing, and as the US EPA's proposed compliance extensions to 2031 show, the direction of travel is set, even if the timing is slightly flexible.
Let's shift gears to aerospace and automotive. We're seeing a major push to replace metals with lighter materials. What's the key technology driving this?
The driver is carbon fiber reinforced polymer, or CFRP, combined with additive manufacturing. We're moving beyond just using composites for body panels. A recent report from China highlights how continuous fiber 3D printing is now enabling the creation of complex primary aerospace structures. Think load-bearing components, not just fairings.
What does continuous fiber mean for a business leader? Why is that different?
It means you're not just printing with plastic that has chopped carbon fibers mixed in. You are laying down a continuous, unbroken strand of carbon fiber precisely along optimized load paths within a polymer matrix, like PEEK or PEI. The result is a part with anisotropic properties, immense strength exactly where it's needed, that can surpass the specific strength and stiffness of aluminum and steel.
That sounds transformative for manufacturing. How does this specifically impact US and European manufacturers in aerospace and automotive?
For aerospace, it's about competitive survival. The Boeing 787 and Airbus A350 are already around 50.
The opportunity is in high-performance polymers. Companies like 3DS Pro in Singapore and Vector 3D in India are building businesses around 3D printing with materials like PEEK, which can handle continuous use temperatures over 260 degrees Celsius. Western distributors need to secure supply chains for these engineering-grade filaments and powders. They should also be watching for innovations in faster-curing resins, which are crucial for enabling high-volume automotive production.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
If you're in metal fabrication for these sectors, you need a composites and additive manufacturing strategy. This isn't a future trend, it's happening now. Invest in pilot projects using PEEK or carbon fiber nylon for a non-critical part. This builds institutional knowledge of the design freedom and part consolidation benefits before your competitors master it.
Finally, let's talk about the circular economy. We have two very different stories this week. First, BASF in Germany seems to have a major breakthrough in chemical recycling.
That's right. BASF has commercialized its loopamide process. They are taking polyamide textile waste, think old carpets or industrial fabrics, and using chemical recycling to break it down into its constituent monomers. They can then repolymerize that into virgin-grade quality PA6 or nylon 6, suitable for high-demand automotive parts.
Virgin-grade is the key phrase there. That means it's not downcycled.
Exactly. It's a true circular process. Similarly, Germany's Rampf Group is using chemical recycling on polyurethane and PET waste to create recycled polyols, achieving a CO2 reduction of over 40% compared to petroleum-based production. These are significant commercial-scale successes.
But a contradictory report from Bioplastics News says chemical recycling commercialization is faltering in Europe and the U.S. It mentions companies like Mura Technology and Eastman facing delays and scaling back projects, with these materials making up only 0.2% of EU plastics production. How do we reconcile these two realities?
It highlights the gap between technological potential and economic viability. The technology, as BASF and Rampf demonstrate, works. But the challenges are high capital costs for the plants, the need for stable, well-sorted feedstock, and weak demand when low-cost virgin plastic is readily available. The market isn't consistently willing to pay the green premium.
So for U.S. and European manufacturers, what's the takeaway?
Don't bet your entire sustainability strategy on the imminent availability of chemically recycled feedstock for all polymer types. Where it is available, like BASF's Loopamine, it offers a powerful marketing and ESG tool, but for broader applications, the supply will be constrained and potentially expensive for the next few years. Focus on mechanical recycling where possible and design for disassembly.
And for trading and distribution companies?
This is a market timing and intelligence play. Your value is in identifying which chemical recycling streams are becoming commercially viable and connecting that supply with manufacturers who have strong sustainability mandates. Track the output from specific plants, not just the headlines, and be prepared to talk about the economics. The cost of collection and sorting is the elephant in the room.
And the single actionable insight for our listeners?
Engage with your material suppliers on their chemical recycling roadmaps. Ask for specific timelines, target materials, and projected costs for their recycled content grades. This allows you to build a realistic, phased plan for incorporating these materials, rather than making a sudden, reactive shift when regulations or customer demands force your hand.
Troy, let's distill this week into a clear strategic summary. What are the three key takeaways for Western executives?
First, on PFAS, the era of using fluoropolymers by default is over. Every manufacturer must now actively justify their use or engineer them out. This is a top priority risk mitigation and R&D effort. Proactively engage with suppliers like SAVIC who are bringing alternatives to market.
Second,
the lightweighting of transportation is accelerating through advanced composites and 3D printing. Metal fabricators who are not investing in these capabilities are at risk of being designed out of future EV and aerospace platforms. The technology has moved from prototyping to primary structures.
And the third key takeaway?
The circular economy for plastics is real, but it's not yet robust. Chemical recycling offers true circularity for some polymers, as BASF proves, but widespread commercialization is hitting economic headwinds. Rely on it strategically where it's available, but maintain a diversified sustainability strategy that includes designing for mechanical recycling and reducing overall material use. This is a marathon, not a sprint.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining Troy Technical Intelligence. We provide the analysis and foresight you need to stay competitive in a rapidly changing global landscape.
Thank you.
Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. We'll be back next week with another essential briefing for U.S. and European industry leaders.